Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, best-selling author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And this is Sell or Die. Real world sales talk, no bullshit, no tricks.
We are interviewing the best minds on selling and personal development, and we're doing it live. Why do we do it live? Dude, because you make sales live in the moment. There's no pre-taping your sales presentation, although you probably would like to.
We're taking your sales questions. Send them to us on Twitter, at Gittimer or at Jen in a New York Minute. Or maybe you want to email your question or advertise on the show. You can email those questions and inquiries to sellordie@gittimer.com.
And reading every single one of your questions, the man behind the glass, our producer, the great, the demure, the humble, Doug Branson.
Well, I don't know what demure means, but I certainly will take it. Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. A reminder to our listeners, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Sell or Die. And while you're there, leave us a five-star review. Help other salespeople like yourself find this podcast. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
Well, we're in Charlotte, North Carolina, where there seems to be a bit of an upheaval at the moment, but hopefully that'll go away. It's not going to help sell the city of Charlotte.
No, it's certainly not.
The bathroom law has already screwed it, so who knows what's going to happen. Well, I think we start next year at about $5 billion in the hole.
If you hear helicopters above us, that's because they've been circling all day.
Totally crazy, but that doesn't preclude the world from making a sale online. Amazon doesn't care what's going on in your town. They only care what's going on in their warehouses.
That's right.
So my recommendation is if you're feeling blue or you got nothing to do, then you go on the internet and you press one click buy.
So be a buyer or not a seller?
Well, what the hell? I think when I was growing up in sales, if I made a sale, I would go out and buy myself something. If I didn't make a sale, I would go out and buy myself something. So I never knew the difference.
So
I always
felt great. You want to make yourself feel good.
Every time.
Okay, so speaking about feeling good, I was just in New York City, and as a seller, you always need to represent yourself in the best way possible. So I decided to get a haircut at Art and Autonomy in New York City by Jeffrey Jagling, Art and Autonomy, best hair salon on the planet. And I was reminded what confidence you can feel after a haircut, a great haircut.
I know the feeling.
You got yours too, right?
Exactly. I cut my hair, I think, 25 years ago, easily. I cut both of them.
Yeah.
So coming up, we have an amazing show today. We have marketing expert. And I think really marketing expert is a low definition of the word. This guy's a genius. Joe Applebaum is here with us live in the studio to give you real world information that you can use 1 minute after this show to build your visibility and build your sales.
Plus, none of us want negative reviews on our business, but it happens.
Like how?
It happens. If you do something, or sometimes if you don't do something, it happens. So what should you do to combat and prevent negative reviews? That's coming up.
Whoa. So let's get to it. It's time to sell or die.
Let's start. As we do most shows, we start with your burning sales questions. Doug, who's up first?
What's on fire, Doug? What does the Reddit do?
Well, the city of Charlotte might be on fire.
Yeah, well, true.
Reddit's on fire right now. Reddit user Head Explody is having a tough time with appointment no-shows. They write, working in college admissions, catching up with those that have shown interest at one time or another. I'm building rapport, getting prospects to tell me about their lives, their ambitions. And they're fairly excited to make an appointment to see me, but they don't show up and won't answer my calls to reschedule. They could be setting the appointment because they don't know how to say no and just want to get off the phone, but maybe not. How do you combat this?
The best way to do it is to let them confirm the appointment rather than you. Please call me. Ask them, first of all, confirm how important it is that their education means something. And second of all, talk about the fact that they're going to get the education that they need here. And then third, say, I can call you and bug you about coming, but really, now's the time in your life that you have to show personal responsibility. So I'm going to set a time for you to call me and confirm you're going to be here. Fair enough? At least try to turn that table.
Yeah, I like that. I would also send them a meeting invite so that whatever time you do confirm, it's on their calendar and it pops up on their computer. It's not you making a pop-up. It's an automated pop-up.
I agree. Doug, what's next?
Next up, we have user RFrostLL, who writes, I recently moved into an account manager role responsible for retention and cross-upselling of our existing accounts in a territory.
You work for Wells Fargo?
No, I hope
not. Oh, got it. Okay.
Looking at my accounts, a lot of them are due upgrades on their infrastructure, which would bring in revenue and commission for me. Any thoughts on the best way to go about opening an opening call or an email, finding a way to add value for them and not coming across as simply looking to further my own objectives? Or am I overthinking this and a simple introduction would suffice?
Well, they're already a customer of yours, so that's helpful. But second of all, do a little research on them and make sure that the person that you're talking to is known to you for something or another, and try to have your opening statement based on that. You know, ask them how they're sales are going in the area of this, or what the best thing that they're selling right now is, or what the key area of their business is, and then talk about your stuff.
Yeah, and find the product that you personally believe is going to be most helpful to them. And if you believe it, you'll be able to transfer that belief through the phone call.
And if they look you up on Reddit and see that your name is Head No, that was not the guy. This
Frost
is
Frost LL
yeah.
something.
Try to get a Reddit name that's something cool.
That one's sort of cool. Mm. I like the next one. Let's hear it, Doug.
All right, Reddit user Enraged Walrus.
Oh,
writes,
yeah. My kind of guy. How are those teeth doing, bub?
All right, Enraged Walrus just got a new job selling computers, electronics, and repair services. He writes, my market is mainly school teachers, business owners, people in the medical field, and a few personal shoppers. I'm brand new to sales, and my first weekend, my boss is already giving me hell about my numbers, so I'd like to become better. Any tips for a newbie are welcome, but I have this specific question. How do I handle talkative customers that seem like they want to have a conversation more than buy something without being rude or making them feel like they were being annoying?
Amazing. You have talkative customers. Embrace that. Let them talk. Listen to what they have to say and then find the best thing to suit what they need. But if you don't listen to them, they're not going to want to work with you.
Ask them what kind of computer they're using right now. Ask them when the last time they replaced it is. Ask them what the one thing wrong with it is. Ask them what they feel would be faster. Ask them if they've ever had a virus. Ask them if they've ever lost data. I mean, come on. You can. All the questions are there for you to ask. All you have to do is ask, listen, and write down what they say. Oh, by the way, the last thing you want to do is ask for another sale. Hello.
All right, this is going to be the last question, guys. This one from Reddit user The Cave Allegory, who writes, I'm an inside sales 70% of the time and outside 30%. The product is consulting and executive search, so the average deal is $22,000. How many leads should I be actively fostering through the consideration process? What would be considered a good amount?
I don't know. What do you think, Jen?
I don't know. Figure out how many you can close many you need to close to get to your goal.
Look at your past. First of all, what is the best guy in your company doing? What's his ratio? If he calls 10 people, how many can he get on the phone? How many people can he set an appointment with? How many can he close? How many out of 10? Usually the best guy is 1 or 2 out of 10. That's a good number. But so then you work backwards. If you want 10 appointments, you have to make 100 calls. And I mean, it's a very simple work backwards formula. For every sale, if it's 1 out of 10, now you have to make 1,000. I mean, come on, it's not that big of a deal. If you can add and subtract, you don't even need to have to multiply. You can just, you know, count your toes and fingers, and you have your own number formula. That's what I would do. Dude.
All right, those were all great sales questions, and we want the chance to answer your burning sales question. Send them to us at sellordie@gittimer.com right now so that we can read and answer them live here tonight on the show.
Now, damn it.
But first, we got to take a short break because when we come back, Joe Applebaum, CEO of Ajax Union, in here to talk about 21st century marketing and how it can help you make more cash. Until then, here's Jeffrey answering an important question on personal branding.
Yeah, listen closely. Dear Jeffrey, I'm a salesperson at a big company. When establishing my professional brand, should I differentiate myself from the company as a separate brand, establish a Twitter, blog, website promoting my sales abilities, but not the company itself, or should I establish myself as a brand that's part of the company, promoting my sales abilities, the company core values, and products? Signed, Emily. Dear Emily, what are you thinking? You establish yourself and let the company establish itself. My recommendation is always that you brand yourself as an individual and as an expert. And here's why. If you decide to leave the company or the company decides to leave you, what are you left with? Where's your life? You're going to have to prepare a resume? In today's world? No. In today's world, when you go to a new company to be hired or you post your resume online, they want to know how many Twitter followers you have. They want to know what your customers think of you. They want to know if you have a YouTube account or a Facebook page that's business for you. They want to know all about you, especially your LinkedIn account. So my challenge to you is, as a person, you brand yourself as a person. You can mention some of the products that you sell. You can mention your expertise, but don't include the company with you. Not good, ever. So welcome back now. Welcome back now to Sell or Die. We're coming to you live from Charlotte, North Carolina, and we have a very special guest in studio with us tonight. The great Joe Applebaum. He is the CEO of Ajax Union, a marketing firm in New York City and Brooklyn. And he's here to discuss the current state of marketing for both individuals and businesses, predominantly businesses, but everyone needs a personal brand. But before we grill Joe with questions, let's take a listen to a video. Take a listen to a video, and sometimes one day we're going to be able to watch that video that he made on this very topic.
People are always thinking, what's in it for me? Whenever you say anything, everyone's thinking about, how does that affect me? How does that help me? So when you're telling the story about your brand, it's not about you, it's about your customer. Imagine you had to explain what you do to somebody. How long does it take? 2 to 3 minutes? Imagine you could send somebody a video with just explaining what your business is. That would save you hours of time. At Ajax Union, we do everything from blogging, social media, articles, anything that you need to get the exposure online. We can do that for you. You can do it yourself, but it's just much more cost effective to use a company to do it for you.
Somebody's going to complain about my business on Facebook, or somebody's going to say I'm a jerk on Twitter.
Some people don't even want to exist. They don't want to be around because they're afraid that somebody's going to say some bad things about them. Well, guess what? People are talking about you anyway. You need to be proactive. We will update your Facebook, update your Twitter with positive things that add value to your industry. The key is to add value. When somebody sees the Facebook icon on your website or on your business card or on your truck, what do they think? What do you think when you see the Facebook icon? I think about my family. I think about my friends. I think about the things that are important to me. If you're not out there, if you're not creating content that adds value to your industry, you're not going to succeed because your competitors are doing it. We're very proud to have so many small businesses here, and our goal is to be able to help businesses grow.
Very profound and very well done and very well edited. Joe used both current video and videos that he took from his recent bar mitzvah. And can you talk a little bit about what Ajax actually does? You're a digital marketing firm, correct? And a branding firm?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you so much for having me on
pleasure.
The show.
Yeah,
it's really awesome to be here in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're a gracious host, so thank you for having me.
My
really
pleasure.
Appreciate
we're happy
that.
You're my total pleasure. Yep, we're happy to have. We're damn near as happy to have you as you are to have us.
That's right.
Well, thank you. I can tell that. I feel it. So thank you.
Cool.
So Ajax Union is a digital marketing agency based in Brooklyn, New York, and we help companies generate leads and help them with general marketing support. When we started our company 7 years ago, We started off as an SEO company that just helped all businesses, and we've been able to help over 1,100 companies since we started, and we grew so fast that we were featured number 178 on the Inc. 500 as one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. Wow. But as we continued to pivot and to rediscover ourselves, we realized that the greatest impact that we can make is specializing. And we chose to specialize within the world of B2B lead generation to offer companies a return on investment on their marketing spend and to help them with marketing support. So we now have a vision. 2016 vision is amazing clients, amazing employees to be an amazing company. And when we ask our clients, what's one word to describe what we do for you? And they would say amazing. And that's our goal, and that's what we strive to.
Cool.
Cool. I like that.
So what have you seen? You've been doing it for 7 years. What changed in that seven-year period of time that actually created that opportunity for you to go for the incoming lead?
So what's happening is with the internet constantly evolving, new technologies constantly coming out, what worked yesterday doesn't work today. And what works today is not going to work tomorrow. So you have to constantly change your game when it comes to digital marketing, when it comes to marketing in general. Think about when you started in your career, the type of marketing that was then and the way that people market. Where are people's attention today? So if you think about people's attention, it used to be that people paid attention to billboards. Now people are driving down the road here in Charlotte and they're not looking at the billboards. What are they looking at? They're looking at their phone.
Mm-hmm. True. You know, they used to look at the Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
They looked
yeah.
at, you know, that was like you, it was a go-to yeah. place. You want a pizza, you look in the Yellow Pages. You want a haircut, yeah. you look in the Yellow Pages.
Now you look at your smartphone, you don't look at Yellow Pages are meant to use as firewood.
Or book or doorstops.
A lot or of a doorstop, yeah. or if you have a little child, they can put it on a chair like a...
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. booster yeah. seat, perfect.
A booster seat. But yeah, so things are constantly changing. If I look back at the way that we used to generate leads, back when we started our company, our focus was on manipulating the search engines, right? Trying to get you number one for a specific keyword. The way that it worked was you just had to put some meta tags and title tags and add some keywords and write some content for your website, maybe get a link or two, and then you're golden. But things have changed. Things have changed so much. Now it's really about, how can I add value? How can I add value from a standpoint that people will actually see that, like that, share that on social media, which didn't exist back then the way mm-hmm. it exists today. How can I find what my prospects, what my customers need and provide them with that value, share it with them so that they can become loyal customers?
So with things changing, where do you recommend people be focusing their marketing attention? Is it on Facebook, on Google, on traditional marketing? What do you typically recommend for your clients?
The first thing that I tell every single business owner, every single salesperson, every single marketing consultant, every single person that's in charge of making it rain.
That sounds like a lot of people.
Yeah. The first thing I tell them is, what is your business goal? What is your plan? What do you want to accomplish? Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have a defined plan, especially small business owners. They don't have a defined plan. They just want more. They just want as much as possible.
Yeah, I want to make a lot of money.
So I say, give me a specific amount of money you want to make. Why would I want to limit myself, Jeffrey? Jennifer, why would I want to limit myself and give you a number? I don't want to put a number to it. I want billions and billions. And I look at the person, I'm like, you really want billions? You really want billions of customers knocking on your door today? Which one are you going to choose first? Which one are you going to close first? You can't close a billion deals. So be realistic. When I heard you talk about how many sales calls a person can make before and the way you answered the question so well, you're not going to be able to make more than 100 calls a day anyway. Even if you're even going to have 5 or 6 conversations or whatever, you can't make more than 100 calls anyway. And if you're busy with real prospects and each presentation that you make takes you 30 to 45 minutes and you're going to make 5 of those presentations, you're not going to be able to speak more than 50 people or more than 30 people. So you need to be realistic as to what your goals are. Number one, set realistic goals. Go out of the gate and say, okay, I want 10 new customers a month. Once you understand that I only need 10 new customers, then you try to figure out, okay, what's the best place? Where do my customers hang out? So you ask me, should we do Facebook? Should we do Twitter? Should we do Instagram? Should we do Pinterest? What should we do? Well, if you're targeting mommy bloggers, if you're targeting moms, Pinterest is a good place for you to market yourself. If you're targeting CEOs, maybe you want to spend time on LinkedIn.
Yeah, Pinterest wouldn't be a real good place for CEOs.
No.
And if you're targeting teenage kids, well, Snapchat is very, very, very hot for the teenage kids. You know, I use Snapchat, and I happen to know CEOs that hang out on Snapchat. But not everybody does spend their time on Snapchat. But, you know, one of the powerful things about social media in general is that that is where people's attention is today. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, how often do you log into your Facebook account? I know that I log on multiple times per day. As a matter of fact, every time somebody leaves a comment or sends me a message or notification, if I see the notification on my phone, I'd be tempted to log into my Facebook and see what's going on there for just a moment. So it takes up so much of people's attention, and that's where you want to be. Ultimately, marketing is an attention game. And if you want to make more sales, you need the attention of your best prospects. You need to be in front of them in a positive way. You don't need to sell them anything. You just need to make them aware that you exist. Before you met me, if I said, Jeffrey, do you know any CEO of a digital marketing agency that's as great as Ajax Union? Nothing necessarily would have come to the top of your mind or to the average person because you're busy helping salespeople and sales managers be able to take their game to the next level. But now that you see me on Instagram every single day posting a selfie or doing a smoothie talk, you will never forget that I exist because you see me every single day.
I'm sorry. The key word, though, is top of mind. Your consistency is what gets you top of mind. If you were there once a month, they might not think of you. But they see that damn Joe Applebaum and they go, let me see. Wow, the smoothie talk? I need a smoothie. I'm a little hefty.
A little souffligan.
Yeah, exactly. Softic might be the word, but yes.
I was just going to say the same thing. You're very good at being in people's faces. You know, you have the smoothie talk, the street talk. Yep. You have your TV show. You're everywhere. Every time I open social media, I see Joe.
Yeah. You're philosophical and you're healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's helpful. You give helpful tips.
But I wasn't always that way. So if you go back to the beginning of when I started Ajax Union, I was just so focused on work. I was not focused on my health. I was telling you earlier, I used to drink 6 Snapples a day, eat onion garlic potato chips, eat burekas, eat kugels, eat all types of things. You know,
sounds
like
pretty good. I'm hungry now.
Yeah, I'm in.
Some of us haven't eaten dinner yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So I used to just literally just binge eat because I was so stressed out from growing my company. I would work 16 hours a day. I wouldn't think about my health. And ultimately, it took a toll, and I gained a significant amount of weight. And then one day
How much?
I was at 265 pounds at the max, and I realized that, you know, I was almost going to get diabetes. I was so overweight. But my business was doing really well, right? I built a company, multiple 7 figures, very, very quickly, accolades, on Fox Business, on the Wall Street Journal. What I didn't realize was that I had all these fears about myself, about the way that I looked, about the way that I was, about the way that I spoke. I was afraid of public speaking. Now I spoke to over 10,000 business owners through different seminars and webinars as a certified Google trainer. I was afraid of putting my photo online. Now you see me taking selfies
you're
all
everywhere.
The time.
Yeah.
I had to overcome.
And you're not that good looking.
I'm not that good looking. I'm not. You know, the women would argue with you, but the for the men that look at me, they're like, no, he's not that good looking.
The hell is that
guy? Yeah, right. Why the women all look? Yeah, so the reality is I post a selfie now to remind me how I had this massive fear. And I overcame that fear, and every day I have to fight that.
Wow, cool.
Because you know, you're scared. People have these fears, and they're not rational.
Right, they're not well-founded.
I heard Tony Robbins say at a seminar, he said, fear is false evidence that appears real. So we create all this false evidence, and we create all these beliefs in our life that limit us from actualizing our potential. So I took my health seriously, and as I was telling Jennifer earlier, I'm a little obsessive. I'm a little extreme when it comes to certain things. So I do a smoothie every day, and I knock it down and do 50 push-ups, and I work myself out. But 3 years ago, I couldn't do one push-up. I lost 75 pounds. And people say, Joe, how do you keep it off for 3 years? I'm taking it seriously. I didn't just take a diet. I'm not trying to get rich quick. I'm not trying to make that one cold call, Jeffrey.
Yeah, that puts you over the top. Yeah.
I'm not trying to get lucky.
By the way, did Tony Robbins happen to say that that was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's definition?
I didn't hear
him say
that.
Sometimes he leaves that out.
Yeah.
Details.
Acknowledge the author.
What is the difference between an author and a plagiarizer? They say an author is somebody, a plagiarizer is somebody that steals ideas from one person, and an author steals ideas from many. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's a difference between an author and a writer.
Right. Okay.
I'm a writer.
You are a writer.
Writers write their own books.
Yeah.
Authors don't always write their own books. That's and you don't want to expose people for not writing their own books.
Don't expose people.
Okay.
Okay.
Dr.
So,
Phil.
No, Jeffrey.
You can expose Jeffrey. Yourself if you want.
No, Jeffrey writes his own books.
Don't expose yourself.
Exactly. Thank you.
So let's get back to marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Who is doing marketing right in your view? Like big company, small company? When you're out there online, who are you seeing doing it well?
I think that there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are doing it well. There are many, many companies. If you look at the top brands, and some of them are doing it really, really well, some of them are not doing it so well. And the ones that make you think, the ones that make you feel, they say that it's not what the person says that you remember, right? It's what how the person made you feel and so on. And the same thing happens with social media. Take a look at the brands that you love, like them on Facebook, like them on Instagram, see what they're doing and see how they make you feel. Do they make you feel comfortable? Do they make you feel like you want to shop by them? Do they make you feel like you want to have brand loyalty? For me, when I look around at the entrepreneurs that, there are many entrepreneurs that are in my circle. I don't consume as much as I create. I'm more of a creator now than I'm a consumer. But when I take a look at the people that I know, that I trust, that I'm taking a look at, I see some of them are doing it right and some of them are not putting out any content at all. And I have a couple of friends of mine who are literally being consistent. And what you said earlier that you like that I'm consistent, it's not something that I always did. I would get these bursts of energy and I would suddenly do things and then I would stop for like 6 months, for 8 months, for a year, for 2 years. I would just forget that I did it. And at the end of 2015, I took off 2 weeks from social media. I wrote a whole blog post about I'm taking 2 weeks off. I'm deleting it from my phone. I'm not going on anything. I'm really going to think about how is 2016 going to be completely different than the years before? And one of the words that really stood out for me was consistency, because I started CEO Mojo in 2013 and then I stopped. And I started Grow Time in 2014 and then after doing a few videos, I got tired and then I stopped. And I started writing on LinkedIn and then I stopped. I stopped the consistency. And when I asked my forum, I'm part of Entrepreneurs Organization, a group of entrepreneurs that have built businesses over $1 million in revenue. There are 12,000 CEOs globally. And I asked the people in my forum, the people that are closest to me, what's one thing that you admire of me and what's one thing that I could improve? And many of them said that, Joe, you seem to start a lot of things, but you don't necessarily finish things. I don't see you finishing things. And that really hit me deep in my heart because I want to be a finisher. I want to take my quality to the next level. I want to find a better way. So consistency was so important. And any brand that's doing something consistently over time is going to do much, much better. And so for 2016, I put a growtime.tv video every single week. I actually filmed everything when I took that hiatus. I did 3 90-minute sessions and I filmed 52 videos, so I knew that was done. CEO Mojo, I did it till I had my baby about a month and a half ago. I did it every single week. I interviewed another CEO. Now I have more in the pipeline. I'm interviewing 52 CEOs that built their business from zero to seven figures. So I did that. I wrote 2 drafts of my book this year, Average Joe to CEO. And I'm very, very consistent with my weekly emails. I send out an email every single Sunday. I did it every single Sunday. I do a video every day on my Facebook. I do a selfie whenever I go running. Every morning I go running and I do a selfie of myself. I do a smoothie talk almost every single day where I go live on Facebook. So there are certain things that I do consistently over and over and over, and that's what helped me stay in front of you. So consistency is key.
Are they second nature now? Or do you have to remind yourself like, oh, I have to do that selfie?
It's completely second nature. Like I actually wake up in the morning, I put on my exercise gear without me thinking. There are some days that I just put it on and I didn't have an intention to go exercising that day, but because I'm already wearing the exercise gear, I do it. And when I'm out there, I have to take a selfie. It's like something I have to do.
So how did you develop that consistency?
I developed that consistency by forming a habit, by starting slow, by starting one day at a time, and not committing to doing this for the rest of my life. When I started doing the smoothies, right, I started saying, okay, let me do this for 10 days. Let's do a 10-day challenge. After doing it for 10 days, I started feeling different. You know, when you put a certain amount of kale and spinach and lemon and turmeric and hemp seeds and chia seeds and all these great things into your system, your body starts operating on another level. People say, Joe, how do you have so much energy? You are what you eat. That's why I only eat kosher, by the way, Jeffrey. Because you are what you eat. And I want holiness inside me. So the reality is, for me, you have to be consistent in your marketing and in any relationship that you have, whether it's a sales relationship, whether it's a marketing relationship, whether it's a love relationship, you got to be consistent, whether it's with compliments, whether it's with being nice, whether it's been treating the person, whether it's date night, right? If you're not dating your customers, not in that way, but if you're not taking them out on a regular basis, if you're not coming to visit them, if you're not taking the time to getting to know them, you're going to lose them to a competitor that does.
I totally agree.
That's true. It's all about the relationship.
So let's bring it to something that everyone knows. If you watch any television at all, there are two phrases right now that are the most popular phrases in the world. It's the meme of what's being broadcast in the general media. The number two is, what's in your wallet? And everyone knows what's in your wallet. Everyone knows what it is. It's been consistent for almost a decade now. They've had a couple of different spokespeople, but the bottom line is it works. I guess the question would be, do you have a Capital One card in your wallet? I don't.
I don't either.
Yeah. So the message is there, but you don't own the product. So what do they have to do to get that message to be, you know, they're spending millions of dollars. Obviously, they're making a lot of money on the interest of people. They pray you don't make your payment every month. People think, oh, I got to pay my credit card. The credit card's in the back room going, don't pay, please, don't pay.
I don't think the Capital One's going for Jeffrey Gittimer, Joe Applebaum, or Jennifer Glucko. I think they're going for people who can't get credit. I think they're going for people who have a difficult time getting credit, okay, and they think about what's in their wallet.
Okay.
So I don't really think about what's in my wallet, but there are people, and I used to be the person. I used to have a Capital One card when I was starting out early. I think my third credit card when I was trying to build credit, nobody would give me credit. American Express wouldn't give me credit. Why? Not because I didn't pay my bills on time, but because I was 18 years old. And I didn't have any history. But Capital One said, yeah, we'll give you $100 credit. So they were known for that, and that's what they're going for, and they're targeting that audience. So the fact that you know this information, what's in your wallet, and when your kid turns 18, you're going to get them a Capital One credit card because you want them to build their credit, and no one else is going to give them credit, but Capital One will.
I would be afraid to give a child of mine at this moment, who is seven, and has an iPhone, an iPad, a laptop, and a desktop.
The last thing they need is another credit card.
Bingo.
Exactly.
However, but you're right. You want to teach them about money. Okay, so what's number one? Give me 15 minutes and I can save you 15%.
Or more.
Or more at Geico. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have Geico insurance?
I don't.
Do you?
No, I'm insured neither. With Michael Silverman.
Exactly.
Michael's my guy.
Mine's with John Geico. Cantrell. I don't know who my insurance is with.
Same point. I just know my guy.
But right. The same point is, if you're worried about saving 15% on your insurance, you're not necessarily worried about that. That's not your concern. Your concern is having a person that you trust that can handle your insurance if something happens.
I always want to save money. Where are we?
You may not, but that might not be your priority when it comes to your car insurance.
But you may have faith that the guy selling you the insurance is doing the best he can for the value and for the price.
Correct. But there are a lot of people that don't have a relationship with an insurance agent that you, and they really, really desperately need that 15%, and they're talking to the masses. Again, when you're doing marketing, we have to get something straight, especially with business owners, especially with savvy marketers or savvy salespeople. You're not talking to everybody. You're talking to your customer. So when you're talking to somebody, whether it's 15% or less, when we started our business, Ajax Union, one of the things that we promoted was month-to-month plans, that our fees are affordable, that we're transparent with everything that we do, that you have full ownership over the work. If you take a look at one of the early videos that we produced, our competitive advantage was completely aligned with the average small business owner. Well, now we're dealing with larger companies that have larger budgets that are spending tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and those companies don't care about that. They don't care about month to month. They don't mind signing contracts. They don't care about transparency. They just want a better return on investment. They just want to make sure that you understand their business from a business perspective.
And they want to be able to measure it.
And they want to be able to measure it. So yeah, we came up with this whole dashboard with key performance indicators, both lagging and leading indicators, that help people know if they will be successful. We can predict whether or not you're going to be successful with your marketing campaign by testing the right way, by allocating a budget, and by helping you be able to look into the future. And that's what those types of customers need. Now, your business changes, your life changes, and there are different things that you need in your life as it changes, and your marketing message needs to change as well.
So what do you tell people? They're trying to get out there. They're, I want to be number one on Google, Joe. I want my name to be number one.
I want to be the first page.
Exactly. And my statement is, you don't want to fool Mother Google.
You don't want to fool Mother Google, because Mother Google will get mad.
Yeah, exactly. And she is out there every day crawling the internet, seeing who's naughty and nice, seeing who's good and bad, asleep and awake. What do you do?
You know what I tell people? I say, do you want to be number one on Google, or do you want to make more sales? And they stop and they're like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I was like, I'll ask you this again, sir, miss. Do you want to be number one on Google, or do you want to make more money? And many times they say, I want to be number one on Google. And I'm going to say, why? Really? Why do you want to be number one on Google? They're like, because if I'm number one on Google, I'm automatically going to make money.
Not true.
That's interesting.
And I can tell you, I see this over and over. I've seen this hundreds of times. People are number one on Google for every possible keyword, and they're still not making enough money to put food on the table. It's not about being number one on Google. It's about figuring out a way to make more money. Number one on Google might be a good tactic. It might be a good tactic, mm-hmm. But using advertising, you can test if it actually will be a good tactic, and then you can invest your efforts in SEO. A lot of people want the get it quick rich mentality. Just like in diets, a lot of people want to be able to eat whatever they want. Like, I was on the seafood diet. Have you heard of the seafood diet?
Seafood and you eat it?
You see it, you eat it. That's it.
That's a great diet.
But that didn't help me lose weight.
The kosher seafood
so far it wasn't working.
No shrimp.
Right?
Oh, you.
No shrimp. No lobster. But yes, I was on the seafood diet. I would eat whatever I saw that was obviously kosher. And people go on the SEO diet for their business, and they want to just do social media. Have you ever heard somebody saying, I'm just going to do social media?
Yeah.
Let's just do social. You don't do social media. You create a strategy that works. You test it out to make sure it works. And then you implement that strategy to make your business successful, to help you achieve more sales, more leads, more prospects, more top of mind, more awareness. You want to have a strategy that will help you accomplish your business goal. Don't focus so much on being number one on Google. Focus on how you want your sales to grow, what other strategies you can use. Do something predictable. Have a cost per acquisition. Every single customer is worth something to you. What's it worth to you? What is a customer worth to you? Think about that. And if you're a salesperson, if you're a sales manager, and you don't know what a customer is worth to you, you need to do some serious soul searching to try and figure out what is the value of a customer. Then you can make an investment into buying that customer.
Or an investment in yourself to be able to put yourself out there consistently. The one thing that we were listening to right now in the show, and let me give you let's raise up about 10 or 20,000 feet. Joe is giving you information that you can use right now, but he's also doing it himself.
Yeah.
He's not leading by example here. He's setting a standard. And that standard is something that you need to go to ajaxunion.com or follow Joe on every kind of social media and just see what he's doing so you can emulate it. I mean, I think that I'm pretty good on social media. I'm not shit compared to Joe Applebaum. And I think that, you know, we're sitting across the table from somebody that's doing an admirable job. And the reason that his company is Inc. 500 is because other people look at what he does and go, I want to be like Joe. And I want to do what Joe do.
I want to get motivated. That's what people say. I want to watch motivation and get motivated. Look, ultimately, it's about having a plan, being consistent, and executing on your plan. Whatever it is, have a plan, execute on the plan, and you're going to be more successful.
Wow. Joe, thanks for joining us. Tell us where we can find out more about Ajax Union.
So if you go to www.ajaxunion.com.
Wait, two W's or three W's?
Well, if you put two W's, Google will correct it because Google knows what you're thinking better than you know what you're thinking yourself.
Exactly.
Like I type something in, Google's like, did you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, www.
You can't even screw up anymore.
You can't. Google will correct you.
Yeah.
They start spoon feeding you the information. Yeah. So ajaxunion.com. You can check me out at joeapfelbaum.com. You can check out my podcast at ceomojo.com. You can check out my weekly videos at growtime.com and follow me on Facebook where you can get motivated with my street talks. You could watch me do selfies. You could watch me prepare smoothies every day. Check out my LinkedIn. I just posted an article on Focus just now, which is mind-blowing. You're going to love the articles that I post there. And I look forward to meeting all of you and seeing what you have to do in this world and how I can add value to your life.
Cool. So, Joe, this has been, to use your word, amazing.
Yep,
I
agree.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad you came here to be on our podcast in person. It was a true pleasure.
Yep.
Still ahead, we're discussing what to do if you get a nasty review online.
Whoa.
But first, staying current is key to modern marketing. Here's a tip from my series called Sales in a New York Minute.
Years ago, when I was looking for my BlackBerry, I would give up after searching for about a minute or two. Fast forward a decade. Can you imagine being without your iPhone? What's your state of current and how are you turning new technology into currency? I attended a sales meeting where they raffled off a grand prize. The grand prize was two industry directories with contact information. Seriously? Why would anyone want to win that prize? Personally, I was hoping not to win. If I want to look someone up, I'll just go to Google. Do you use the phone book to look up a number, or do you use Google? Do you use a phone booth or your cell phone? Your life is no different than your customer's business life, and they expect current from you in a New York minute.
That's great advice from the great Jen Gluckow. You can find more about her New York Minutes on her YouTube channel. That is Sales in a New York Minute, and it's Jennifer Gluckow, G-L-U-C-K-O-W. Now, we've been talking a lot about marketing and modern marketing on the show tonight, and we would be remiss if we didn't discuss our friends at Death Wish Coffee, arguably the best modern marketeers on the planet. They won the... Oh, yeah, we use the K-Cup, by the way.
Yeah, we're
K-Cuppers. And Death Wish Coffee, strongest coffee in the world. They have the secret formula. And they are killing it. I mean, they're totally killing it. They're going to be in supermarkets soon. They're going to be in your coffee shop soon. They're going to be everywhere. And because their coffee frickin' rocks.
And they're made from the strongest possible combination of perfectly roasted beans. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee. We drink it in the studio when we do the show.
And we drink it in the morning when we wake up, and we drink it all throughout the day.
Go get your first bag of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
Up for the coffee? Yep, been up all week. So get some Death Wish. And by the way, people are starting to email me and literally tweet me and say, I'm using Death Wish, I'm drinking Death Wish.
Yeah, me too, it's amazing.
So our next topic has a lot to do with what we just discussed with Joe Applebaum earlier in the show. And if you want to keep up with modern marketing, then you better keep up with what's being said about you online. And every review, doesn't matter what it is, of all the types, negative reviews can kill your business if you're not paying attention to them. So let's talk about that, you know, just for a little bit, Jenny.
Yeah, and I have some numbers to back that up, Jeffrey.
Whoa.
I
love numbers.
Really?
Is one of them 74%?
Maybe.
Okay.
According to the White House Office of Consumer Affairs,
oh my God,
news of bad customer experiences reaches more than twice as many ears as praise for a good customer experience. And for every customer who bothers to complain, 26 other customers remain silent. Don't assume it's one bad apple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just one more stat.
Okay.
According to research done by business consulting firm Lee Resources, if you resolve a complaint in a customer's favor, they will do business with you again
74% of the time.
Actually, they said 70, but I'm making it 74.
Exactly. We use 74% for everything.
Shh, don't tell.
Oh, sorry. That's a secret.
But that's amazing. You resolve a complaint, and then more times than not,
sure,
you can get that customer back.
Yeah. If someone complains, you can win them back if you do the right things.
The best thing you can do in our company is complain about something. We call you up and kiss your ass and send you books and do all kinds of stuff, and we win the customer. And I'll get an email back. You walk your talk.
Mm-hmm.
When someone says you walk your talk, you've done the right thing.
For sure.
So let's talk about the...
how to fix it if someone gives you a negative review.
Yeah. First of all, it pisses you off.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, the person is most likely wrong.
Well, it pisses you off if you care. Haven't you complained to companies before where it feels like they don't care?
Yeah, the bigger
like
the company, the less they care. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But I'm going to give you a couple of ideas, and you might want to take down these ideas or listen to them again on the podcast. The first thing you want to know is this an accurate complaint? Is the person complaining about something that's valid? So if it's valid and it's accurate, then you have to ask yourself, hey, how did this happen? And what do I have to do? So I'm going to start to document whatever it is that they're going to say, because at some point I have to respond to it, and at some point I have to fix it so that the complaints don't keep happening. But I also want to make sure that the person that has complained to me is not an idiot or a lunatic or, you know.
Or they could be someone really amazing. And
yeah.
So I always look them up online. I always check out
who they
are.
What's this about, Mr. Gates? So you might want to look at...
Exactly.
You might want to look at who's complaining to you. And then the key word is response. You must respond to any complaint that you find as fast as you possibly can. The faster you find it, the faster you deal with it, the more likely it is that it will have some kind of a happy ending.
Yeah, the more you wait, the more angry people get, and the more people they tell in the meantime.
And don't be defensive. Well, you know, we're doing the best we can here. We're awful busy. Like, seriously? Like, do I really care what's going on at your place? I only care what's happening with me. So you have to harmonize. My book, Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless, was basically written before the internet. And it's still valid that, you know, when the customer calls up, you have to empathize with them. You have to, oh, that's horrible. And you go from there. And you say, oh, but I'm the perfect person to help you. There has to be a positive response to this thing.
But you have to be genuine about it. I hate when I call to complain about something, which I don't do often. But if I do call to complain about something, I'm really pissed off. And someone is like, well, I understand what you're saying, Ms. Gluckow. Really? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying because you're not empathizing with me whatsoever.
So what's the response that you want from that hypothetical?
I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. I'm the perfect person.
Something more genuine. Like, you know, that sucks that happened.
Well, that pisses me off.
I cannot believe that occurred at our company, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Something like that just feels more real, like they care.
I think you just
need to feel that they care.
You want it to feel more real.
Exactly.
You want the empathy. No, I want to feel like they care.
Right, but if you're the business owner, it doesn't necessarily have to be real. It just has to feel real.
Yeah, make me feel good.
So, yeah, tell me I'm pretty. Pat me on the head. No, listen, we have to discuss something that's happening right this minute. They just found out that Wells Fargo compromised about 2 million accounts from people doing fraudulent things in the sales world because they were supposedly forced by their management to do credit cards or enter other accounts or do, you know, I just activate things that the customer didn't know about. Then the CEO comes to the Senate or to the House, whatever it is, and has to answer questions. And he's reading from a public relations script that was so insincere that people who had never, ever heard anyone apologize before in the world would look at this guy and go, he's a fake, he's phony. And he tried his best, but the senators ate his lunch. I mean, if you call Wells Fargo and say, I want to talk to the CEO, please, somebody's going to say, well, right now his ass is on fire. And
he should have taken some acting lessons.
Or he should have taken some sincerity lessons.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? He didn't
How
say.
How could he not feel sorry?
I'm taking responsibility
for this. That's what I understand.
What he should have said is, I'm fucking pissed off about this. He should have been beeped out about it. Like, I'm going to fire people left and right, and then I'm going to resign.
Yep.
I'm going to take my $200 million that I have in Wells Fargo stock, cash it in. But he took no responsibility other than verbal nothing.
Okay, so that's interesting. If you mess up, or you're on the line of someone from your company who has messed up, you need to take responsibility.
Rather, what he said, well, it's only 1% of the people. Like, seriously? Like, they've damaged themselves, I would say, for about a decade.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, their CEO, who had a pretty good reputation going into it, is now in the shitter, and he's going to stay there for an extended period of time. And Congress isn't done with this guy yet.
All right, so we're going to talk about that last week. What's the last tip, Jeffrey, for someone who has a negative review online?
Respond in a positive, kind way online immediately.
Cool.
Take responsibility for it and tell people what you're going to do as a direct result of it.
Awesome. So it's time now for our weekly series. We've started here on Sell or Die. It's just for you and your busy schedule. It's called your weekly sales agenda.
Oh.
And Jeffrey and I are ready to add one small thing to your week's busy schedule that will help you make more money.
And I'm going to go second. Oh, I'm going to go first. Ready?
You can go first.
Okay, you just heard Joe Applebaum here, and that guy was damn impressive. And all he said was, in all of his verbiage, go back and listen to this podcast 20 times, what he said is, I decided to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to be in the public view and be top of mind of my clients and my prospects and the rest of the internet on a daily basis, whether it's a selfie or a smoothie or push-ups or whatever talk show that he does or whatever he posts up online. He's going to do it, as they say in Brooklyn, regularly. And he has done it. And his company is in the Inc. 500 as a result of it. You might want to take a lesson on that. Consistency pays.
So schedule a time to be consistent?
No, just do it. Just decide. Dedicate. Yes, schedule the time. But you have to do it whenever it happens. If I'm going to post something on Instagram every day, it doesn't really matter. Just do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be at 10 o'clock. Although I found that 9 o'clock is actually the best time to post on
Instagram. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, I'll post something tonight.
The earlier the better.
Oh, 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. All right, so here's mine. I know this is hard to believe, but earlier this week I was in New York City and a prospect kept me waiting for about 20 minutes. I know, it happens. And I started thinking about all the things I needed to do that day and I could have been doing in that downtime. So my weekly sales agenda item for you is put together a list of all the things you can do if you have 20 minutes of incremental time, unexpected time, so that you have your list ready when it happens.
Or you can go to thegetemerlearningacademy.com, subscribe, and you can always have 20 minutes worth of a sales lesson while you're waiting to make a sales presentation. So,
thanks for listening to the Sell or Die podcast. We're back live next week at our regular time, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Bookmark blogtalkradio.com/sellordie and come join the conversation that's revolutionizing sales podcasting.
And thank you to our guest, the great Joe Applebaum. Our producer is amazing Doug Branson. Our technical director is alert and aloof Chris Hill. And
until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell, even if your ass falls off.